in the home 6010. Fantasy Focus Football is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico and see all the ways that you could save. It's Friday, November 18th. Fields, Stefania, and Mike here to not just recap last night's Titans-Packers game. Titans score a very convincing, awesome, typical Titans win over the Packers, 27-17. But also we're going to preview all the games ahead for this weekend. How would you describe like the stage of where we're at in the NFL season? Are we in the dog days right now, Stefania?
Dog days makes me think of summer.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah, it does not feel like summer at all right now.
Especially with a big snow event kind of driving what's happening
this weekend. Yeah.
I know, but I guess we should mention it since, like, that's the thing is that that game for Buffalo is now moved to Detroit.
That's right. And we'll dive in. We previewed it yesterday. And so we said, when we were previewing it, we said, hey, we're going to assume the game is being played in normal conditions, not realizing that would necessarily mean Detroit. But it is officially being played in Detroit. Daniel Dopp Bowl taking place between the Bills and the Browns. The Bills couldn't even practice today. They've already canceled that, Mike. So, but I would just say, assuming the game goes on as scheduled and the Bills can get there because the snow has started falling in Buffalo and it is ridiculous, probably a net benefit for fantasy, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. We would have been worried coming right down to the wire how much snow will be on the ground, how windy will it be, all those things. Now it's in a dome. It's all systems go. And honestly, being indoors,
they're going to be there for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
right. Because they got another game there on Thursday. So, yeah.
If anything, it just will help that passing game flourish. So we feel great about guys like we said were borderline yesterday. The guys you have to keep an eye on if it is in poor conditions, like a Gabe Davis, for example, feel a lot stronger playing indoors in this game.
So all you that live out there in Detroit, do us a favor, like tweet at us and give us some suggestions that we can pass along to Bills players, coaches, and staffers because they are going to be there for 4 days. I think I can't imagine they'd go back to Buffalo given the snow.
I think the plan though is
okay.
to stay there.
Stay right there. So if you have any ideas of ways to spend 4 days in Detroit, if you're a high school or college friend or elementary school friend of Daniel Dopp and you're willing to host a Bills player this week, this you could be like an Airbnb for the Buffalo Bills this upcoming week.
We heard Mama Dopp's hotel is open, right?
Yes, it is open. And she can cook.
She's going to love you for that.
Yeah. Daniel said it, so I'm just saying.
Lots of pies.
Who would stay there? Who do you think they would get along with her the best?
So I'm trying to think. For the Buffalo Bills, they got a lot of great personalities.
Probably Josh Allen.
Josh Allen would be good, yeah. Von Miller, great personality. Just an ageless wonder, he'd fit in well. They could talk about all kinds of things. They could reminisce about the Broncos days. They could reminisce all kinds of. There'd be so much fun to be had with Von Miller.
Are there any former Lions on the Bills?
There's got to be at least one.
That would be who she'd
want. We'd have to think about it.
Yeah, we'll find one by the end of the show, I am sure. A former
D. Marlowe, did he have a cup of tea with the Lions?
I think he may have gone Buffalo, Atlanta, Buffalo, but I could be wrong. Okay, anyways,
I'm grasping for straws.
Kyle will get it.
Yeah, Kyle will have it.
No breaking tables. Okay, Bills players, don't break Mama Dopp's table.
Yeah, that's right. It's a very, very valuable table. Let's quickly recap Thursday Night Football game. Again, I mentioned Titans win 27-17. For the Packers, Aaron Rodgers, better at least. 19.1 fantasy points as he had 227 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. So the good news of Rodgers is, if you're looking for good news, like you keep getting the consistency of multiple passing touchdowns. He's done an 8-11 games. The problem is, once again, Mike, no ceiling here for Aaron Rodgers. 19.1 fantasy points. He has under 230 passing yards in 4 of his past 5 games. He hasn't thrown for 300 yards in 16 straight games. That's ridiculous.
I know. It is, but progress, right?
Yeah.
Like, kind of, we're making that leap. He has 19 plus points in consecutive games. And, you know, in the offseason, you know, a lot of what I said was essentially maybe if Watson's decent and he has Lazard and a little Tonyan mixed in and Randall, like, maybe he's fine, right? Like, that's part of what the optimism was. Maybe Watson will work out for them. He hasn't been here all season. He's been injured, right? And now he's here, and suddenly Rodgers is starting to produce in fantasy. So maybe there's something there for a stretch run here. Maybe he can be a streamer, a back-end QB1. So I'm not getting too excited. We have a long sample of him struggling this year, but we'll see.
Yeah, still very touchdown-dependent, too. I mean, 227 passing yards
and
19 fantasy points.
He's gotten a few
in a couple
days.
He sure has, yeah.
But I don't think Aaron Rodgers looked great. Like, just talking about the way he was throwing the ball. And, you know, they did a little close-up on his thumb. He's on the injury report every week because of his thumb. They showed he's wearing a little tape wrap, like a little thumb spike. It's just a support. But he's talking about it now. He's talking about his thumb is not
great.
Wobbly
throws after the game.
And it's cold, and you can see it. And he could have had more fantasy points in last night's game if if he was throwing better. So I do think that's a factor.
I'm glad you said that because there were some throws just wide open. He completely missed. Like that one to Sammy Watkins that he was in the fourth quarter.
That was one of
them. I mean, he doesn't miss those. Like that was, I couldn't believe it.
It is part of the, obviously, I think the problem early was who's he going to throw it to? Mm-hmm. Now he's got a guy who's pretty consistent and he's struggling to get the ball where he needs to. So
Aaron Jones, the other Aaron on this offense, has 14 fantasy points. Nothing out of the ordinary for him. 40 rushing yards, 6 catches, no touchdowns, but still a useful night at 14 fantasy points. Alan Lazard had 10.7 fantasy points, 5 catches, 57 yards. You know, all season, it's been the touchdowns that have carried Alan Lazard. He had a season-high 11 targets. Seems like the Packers are starting to find a little bit of a rhythm with their passing game, as Mike just alluded to. But the most important part of that is Christian Watson, their second-round pick out of North Dakota State, who followed up 3 receiving touchdowns with 2. So he kind of slacked on Thursday night with only 2 touchdown catches, but 4 catches, 48 yards, 2 scores. He had 6 targets, 21.1 fantasy points. We discussed him at great length yesterday, just talking about how, as far as like late season lottery tickets go, we kind of classified him and Kadarius Toney is in this interesting tier of like play with very good quarterbacks, super talented guys. It just hadn't clicked for a variety of different circumstances up to that point. There could be something here.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we said yesterday, right? Like this could be the real deal. This isn't a Nick Westbrook situation, right? He actually could be real because he has the talent, he has the pedigree, and he's in a situation where he can play every down. And that's what we've seen. He's played over 80% of the snaps in each of the last 2 games for the Packers, 20 plus fantasy points in both. And moving forward, the Packers have arguably the easiest schedule for wide receivers, which is interesting. A lot of good matchups coming up for him. So can Lazard and Watson be fantasy starters going forward? Yes, absolutely. I think we'll be ranking Lazard as a borderline wide receiver 2 and probably Watson as a 3 or at worst a good flex.
As far as the Titans go, Ryan Tannehill did have a nice day. He had a really nice day as a matter of fact.
He actually threw the ball really well.
Great.
I thought he looked as good as I've seen him as a passer in this game.
My suspicion is that not a ton of people in single quarterback leagues were starting Ryan Tannehill. 333 passing yards, 19 fantasy points last night. As far as like a career evolution goes, like Tannehill used to be one of the best athletes amongst all quarterbacks. He didn't run anymore.
No.
He doesn't have a game with more than 12 rushing yards this season.
Well, now, he also had the ankle injury too.
Yeah, but even prior to that, right? He hasn't been running.
If he wasn't running before that, he's not running now.
He is not running. He had negative 3 rushing yards last night. And then Derrick Henry did Derrick Henry things plus more. Throw a touchdown pass because Derrick Henry is the man. His longevity is simply remarkable. And he did have 2 catches for 45 yards. That was good. He's now just 7 yards shy of tying his career high for receiving yards in a season. As if the rushing wasn't great enough for Derrick Henry, you get that added boost with a little bit of receiving. We don't need a ton from Derrick Henry for him to be a top 5 running back. He has reasserted himself as one of the very best players in all of fantasy. Austin Hooper finds the end zone twice last night. He had not yet scored prior to this season. He's been a little bit more targeted of late, but still, as far as tight ends go, not quite in that lock it in tier.
Yeah, one guy not on here we should mention. Traylon Burks.
I was like, didn't he have that 50-yard catch? Look at him coming
7 for 111 last night.
7 for 111 with that long catch, and if that was 5 yards further down the field, he might have scored a touchdown as well. 8 targets in that game. He has 14 now in 2 games since he's back from injury. He's 3rd in line at receiver right now, but that will continue to evolve into a larger role. We definitely worry about volume and ceiling in this Titans offense, but there's a reason they traded Brown and used that pick on Traylon Burks, right? He's supposed to be their number 1 receiver, and he's coming around. He's available in 73% of ESPN leagues. Not a bad guy to scoop up and consider for your flex.
Yeah, and maybe not quite on the level of Christian Watson because, A, Ryan Tannehill is not on the same level as Aaron Rodgers, and the Titans really can win a game where they throw it, like, what was it, 5 times with Malik Willis? Like, not that they'll do that with Ryan Tannehill, but the volume in terms of overall passing attempts might be lower in Tennessee, but kind of in that same bucket as the 2 players we discussed earlier. This point of the season, what you're looking for are some guys that might be able to swing a matchup, and Traylon Burks fits that bill.
Yep.
Game preview time? Let's preview some games. Let's do it. We begin with Chicago traveling down to Atlanta. As far as lineup blocks go, Justin Fields, who has been on fire. We have him as quarterback 3 this week, and we might be too low, literally, because he has been quarterback 1 in, 2 straight weeks for Justin Fields. He's been awesome. No major injuries here, Stefania, I don't think.
Khalil Herbert gone, you know, so he's away. I think that's it. You know, Cole Kmet had been on the injury report because of a thigh issue, but upgraded on Thursday to limited practice.
Okay. And as far as question marks in this game go, Mike, I think people like David Montgomery, I think we're sort of pretty steady here, right?
I bumped him up to lineup lock status with no Herbert.
Yeah,
right?
I feel the same way.
He's 15 plus touches in 7 of 8 games, and now Herbert's gone. He could be a 20 touch guy.
We'll see some trust in Emner. But as far as Bears pass catchers go, despite the fact that Justin Fields has risen so far up the quarterback ranks, mm-hmm. it's not like we're quite at the spot where you absolutely have to start a Bears receiver. But if there was ever a week, it's a really good one.
Yeah, definitely. Falcons most fantasy points allowed to receivers this season. 5th most of the perimeter, 7th most of the slide. Doesn't matter where these guys line up. They're going to be in a good spot against a team that has just struggled with personnel, whether it's injury or ineffectiveness in the secondary. So Darnell Mooney, he's been top 35 four of his last 7 games. He remains on the flex radar. Chase Claypool, can't trust him yet. We want to, and at some point the playing time is going to go up, but he ran 5 pass routes last week. 5 pass routes. That's, you can't start him.
Did you hear what he said about the route tree being more complex and what he ran in Pittsburgh? And Luke Getsy mm-hmm. came back and said, yeah, we only wanted to give him a little bit at a mm-hmm. time, but that he was getting closer to diving in. So if that's to be believed, then I think his role will increase. But mm-hmm.
Well, another example, though, like Christian Watson, even Kadarius Toney and Treylon Burks, guys who go from limited roles to all of a sudden a much more significant role. The hard part is forecasting when that shift will take place.
Right.
And hopefully it happens this week and we can feel much better about Chase Claypool for the rest of the season. We mentioned Cole Kmet, who actually leads the Bears in targets over the past 2 weeks with 13. Pretty good option there amongst tight ends. Then on the Atlanta side, like, I kind of feel like the conundrum for Marcus Mariota is the same every single week. I don't know that you can really...
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.